Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated May 29th, 2015. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teagle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Today, filling in for the vacationing Asclepius is Coeur d'Alene. How you doing there, Coeur d'Alene?
Doing very well, Lord Baldrith. As always, very happy to be here. Very excited to be a part of this podcast. Thanks again for letting me fill in for Asclepius.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I appreciate you doing it for us. Really makes things exciting because we get another viewpoint.
Well, no, it's always nice for the cool kids, you know, hanging out with all you guys who have been around a lot longer than I have. And like I said, just hanging out with the cool kids.
Yeah, if you call us cool kids.
Hey, man, thank you guys, the coolest guys around. So I'm very excited to be here and love being a part.
Ah, that's nice of you. Cool. So have you gotten on to release 18 at all?
I have, very briefly, just to make sure that my little domiciles in Soultown, Arteris, and gosh, what was my Lord Marshall Manor? I'm trying to remember the little seaside town right outside of Arteris. Just make sure that they're all taken care of and that they're still standing. And other than that, running around checking out some of the new sites, but haven't delved in too much. So that's kind of my weekend project. Take a look at some of these new and exciting features.
Yeah, me too. There's so much to see, and I don't have time during the week either. I got too much work going on.
Well, the one thing that I am really curious to see is the new player-owned town. I'm blanking on the name currently, but Vengeance, I believe. I think that's Duke Violations Town, if I'm correct. I'm actually really excited to see how this brand new PvP player-owned town is going to work, because Lord knows I'm probably never going to run in there because I'll be killed in the first second I step in. But you know, is it like Wild West where you step in and try and go to the vendor and boom, you're killed? Or you know, what are the rules? So it's very exciting and very interesting all at the same time.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be kind of like how the old UO was, when wherever you go, you can be killed on site.
Yeah, but even back in the UO days, now, mind you, it's been years since I played. I mean, gosh, I was in college when in 1997 when it first came out and when I first started playing it. But I thought you were safe in town. But outside of town, obviously it was fair game and you could still get killed.
Yeah, that's true. You were safe in most towns. There were a couple of towns that PvP was allowed, like Buccaneer's Den.
You're right. I forgot about that. Buck's Den was PvP. You're right. But, you know, I actually like that. I'm not a PvP player. I'm more PvE and kind of exploring and all about the lore and the dynamic and the graphics of the game. But I did like how, you know, when you stepped out of town, you know, there was that element of danger. I mean, you could be killed by a dragon, or you could be killed by, oh, this guy who said he'd take you to Scarab Ray. And next thing you know, you're dead because he stabbed you in the back.
Oh, I know. I remember standing at the bank one time. Some guy stole my staff right out of my bag and had to chase after him and try to kill him for it.
You know, that's what made UO so great.
Oh, yeah.
You could do something like that.
It was exciting. It was scary, but it was exciting. And you kind of just learned, you know, to have a group of friends with you to kind of help you out.
You know, I agree. As much as I might have gnashed my teeth for Baldrith when stuff like that happened, it didn't dissuade me from playing. It actually made me want to get back in there and get stronger, get better. And, you know, again, as I said, I'm not a PvP player, but I did like that element of danger and that, you know, you could be killed at any moment type of play. Because it added to just the general realism of the world and the game. At least that's, you know, that's my very, you know, humble opinion.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I'm not much of a PvPer myself, but if it's a fair game of PvP, you know, where there's somebody you may have a chance of beating, then it actually is quite fun because you have a chance of beating somebody that stole your stuff.
This is very true. I learned very quickly that my hide skill was very, very important.
Oh, yeah. Hide was awesome for a mage. You could kind of sneak around and wait until the time was right.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Shroud of the Avatar, you know, develops into the game that it is now and in the future in that regard, with all the skills and the, you know, we still haven't seen the stealth based system yet, which they've been talking about for a while. And I think, you know, like we talked about last newscast, you know, if they take the time and do it right, I mean, this could really be UO on crack, for lack of a better way to describe it. Just something 10 times better than what it was back in the day.
Yeah, the graphics are a lot better, and I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more interactivity going on with this game, which is going to make it really fun.
You know, I completely agree. I think that's, you know, that's what we talked about before, and I'm sure you and Asclepius have said in other newscasts, you know, what makes this game so incredible is just how the players and the player content that has been able to drive it has just been so tremendous. And I think it's really exciting. You know, it's exciting to be able to be a part of such a unique game from the beginning and see it, you know, develop to, you know, as we are now, release 18. And, you know, I came on board, I think, back in release 10. And I know you've been here for even longer. So, you know, to have seen it come to where it is now, it's just so very, very exciting and special, at least, you know, to me.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky. I got in a little late, but I got in before release 1 was out. So I've got to see the whole set of changes. And it's been just amazing how much stuff comes in each release. It just gets better every time.
And Lord Walter, I think we can agree. As long as they keep offering more and more swag, you know, we'll be more than willing to pay the price.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to bankrupt me. The more stuff they put on the store, the more trouble I get into, because I just love swag.
You and me both, my friend, which is why I'm going to have to eventually pony up for that castle lot deed just to solely store my unique in-game items.
Yeah, no, I can't wait till they put in some hat racks and some display cases so we can put all our stuff out around the house. That'd be great.
I think that's what makes it so much fun. You know, you have this element of like a Sims-esque kind of build your, you know, your house and domicile, but then you can go out and quest and explore like the old Ultimas, and you can do the PvP stuff. And as I mentioned on the forums to a couple people, and I try to stay out of that whole PvP PvE combat debate, because one, I'm not that familiar with, you know, that whole world of Shroud of the Avatar, and two, you know, it's not an argument I choose to have, but, you know, I can understand, you know, where a lot of folks are coming from, and I just try things. Okay, let's step for a second. Let's just take a moment. Remember, you know, we're still alpha. We're still not quite there yet. And it's going to be probably more amazing than we ever could have imagined when it's finished. Let's just give it a little bit of time.
Oh, that's for sure. It's just getting. They're listening to us, and they're doing the improvements on the combat and stuff. And I'm hoping to see a lot better combat. I mean, I played around with my I use a halberd right now because magic's doesn't work for me yet. And I love the new sound effects on the halberd. You hear swishing sounds and clinging and clanging. It's really cool. They really improve stuff quite a bit just this release.
I agree. I completely agree. It is definitely very, very much improved. And I'm happy that some of the enemies that you're fighting now all don't sound like yelping chihuahuas.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I can't wait till they get rid of that chihuahua. That's just, unless there is a chihuahua in game to fight, it doesn't match.
Exactly. Where the skeletons aren't growling and the bears aren't sounding like, you know, yelping dogs, little chihuahuas.
Yeah, the thing that used to crack me up the most is those alligators that sounded like little yelping dogs. That was funny.
Gosh, remember that? Oh, my goodness.
That was a crack up. I was on the floor when I heard that the first time I fought an alligator. It's like, oh man, this is funny.
But you know, the thing that's so exciting, you know, beyond just kind of things that we touched upon, is that with each, at least to me, it seems like each release is coming faster and faster and faster, and that they're innovating and expanding and growing on, you know, a lot of things that people, players have been commenting on, discussing, and you know, I think that's, you know, very unique. I've never been part of a game before like I have this, and I've never been involved to the level that I have in a game at all, to this level. And I think it's so incredible that, you know, the developers are really, one, trying to make it the best game that they possibly can, and two, they're listening to us, the players, and three, they're not only listening, but they're letting us add things in and be involved and help grow the community and make the game better.
That's right. Yeah, they do a very good job at even replying on some of these really controversial threads. You'll see Chris come in sometimes, or Lum come in and just kind of make a little comment to kind of ease the tension a little bit. It's really cool what the devs do in this game. They really do listen to the community.
I agree. I think that, you know, as Amber Rain has always advocated, you know, just patience. Just give folks a little bit of time, and let's all just be patient and take a breath and just remember it's, one, just a game, and two, that they're allowing us to help develop this game.
That's right. Some people are good game testers and some people are not, and you'll see that throughout the forums.
So, you know, you, Laura, you mentioned before all the discussion of, you know, the combat, the deck system, and, you know, on the forums, and I've read some of that, you know, and I haven't gotten too in-depth to a lot of those discussions, but, you know, yeah, on the one side, I get where people are coming from in the sense of, okay, I'm just clicking on these various buttons and I'm not really looking at what's going on my screen, kind of thing. And two, on the other side, you know, my argument is, well, again, it's still not a fully released game. It's still being developed. And so you mentioned that, you know, they're redeveloping or they're tweaking the combat system. You know, what are your thoughts on that? And when you say they're tweaking, you know, what I haven't read any of that. Like, what are they changing to the combat system?
Well, it looks like to me, I've still been playing with the new system a little bit. It looks like you can just stack up a couple of different spells in each of your slots of your bar, and then it cycles through those spells. So you can set yourself up, you know, buttons that do all damage, buttons that do defense, buttons that do healing. And I haven't quite noticed what it's doing because my buttons are empty a lot of the time, so I'm not quite sure how the cycling works. But as of now, I'm playing a melee character because I can't live in cloth yet. And I guess I don't see a difference because I've always kept a small bar. I've always kept like four buttons out just because every button that comes up I need, usually, unless it's a heal that I don't need. But everything else I always need, so I'm not really looking at my bar that much. But I know a lot of people, they've got like a long 10 button bar where they've got certain spells that they want to use at certain times. I guess it just depends on how you want to play as to how much it affects your play style.
Yeah, you know, you raise a very good point. You're right. I mean, unless you're in, at least at a minimum, chain armor. I mean, we talked about this last newscast. I think, you know, you, Sleipius, and I are, you know, we're all in plate armor, tanking every fight we go in. You know, you're right. You can't really be a mage quite yet because you'll just get killed with one hit from a very strong enemy.
Yeah, you get ganked. The problem I have with the magery spells is they don't do as much damage as, like, the melee skill spells. So what's the point in having magic on your mage and wearing cloth and not fizzling anything when you could just put on plate mail and do more damage with a weapon and not take any damage? I haven't seen the advantage to being a mage thus far, so I'm hoping they're going to address that soon.
It's interesting to hear that because, you know, my normal character type in most RPGs and certainly every Ultima that I've ever played, Valor was always the virtue that I picked from the Gypsy back in the Ultima games. You know, I'm always used to the sword and shield style type of combat, but it's interesting to hear that being a mage right now is rather difficult because of the issues that you laid out.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that like the mage because they put a lot of death magic and stuff that I don't like to use. I don't play a death mage. I play a fire mage. I like to put some water in there too. But those particular trees are just kind of underpowered for me anyway. I know I'm probably doing something wrong, but I don't get as much damage on my, you know, when I try to focus as when I go back to like using a spear or a sword or any of those kind of combinations. It's just not as viable for me, but maybe it depends on how you play, too.
Have you had a chance to take a look at some of the moon and the sun magic they've tweaked in-game yet?
Yeah, actually, last release I played purely sun and fire mage, and I played with the Phoenix quite a bit. I really enjoyed it, but once I got to about level 40, I just I couldn't survive very well. I was dying like every other battle, and it was just getting frustrating, so I put plate on again, and I slowly started adding some staff attacks to it, and then I decided, the staff attacks are doing more damage, so then I just went full on.
Isn't that funny? How one leads to it's like a domino effect for Baldrith. It's like, once that first domino falls, it's like, boop, and now I'm back to being a melee character.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, with the way they had the innates blocked off, so you had all these extra points to spend. So I'll just spend some of these points in this other tree. I'll just add some staff attacks and some and whatever, you know. Just some down this heavy armor tree, you know, just diversify yourself a little bit. And it's just, before you know it, you're a jack of all trades. And like, oh, great, I'm a long-haired old man using this plate mail and a big staff. And it's just kind of fun.
Hey, what's wrong with being a long-haired old man, Lord Baldrith? I mean, I'm 36 over here. I mean, I'm getting a little bit long in the tooth.
Yeah, only 36. Oh, I'd say you're still pretty young.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very kind.
Yeah. No, well, in the actual lore of my character, he's like 126, but that's just a lore thing.
So, you know, as Clavius and I were talking in the last newscast about our favorite Ultimas, which ones are yours, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, my favorite offline Ultima was always Ultima 7. That's the one I had the most fun with. And obviously Ultima Online is my absolute favorite Ultima, though, if you want to talk about favorites, because I played that game for like 6 years. And the only reason I stopped playing it was because my computer wouldn't work with it anymore when they switched to 3D. I couldn't play it on my computer anymore, so I had to choose another game. It was great, though.
You and I are in complete agreement. Ultima 7 is by far... I mean, to this day, Lord Bob, I will play that game. You know, I'll load it up on my computer, and I'll just, you know, sink a couple 10, 20, 30 hours into it and just be completely entranced and think back to myself, yeah, I remember playing this game when I was in 8th grade. And I had basically... reconfigure my computer to make it work because it was so ahead of its time. It was fantastic. Yeah, Ultima 7 is the best in my mind.
It was awesome. I just completely remember walking around the world finding like reagents, and you can just steal anything you want from anyone's house. I just remember just really having a lot of fun with that game. It was just unlike any other game I'd ever played.
Yeah, I mean, it was so unique. I mean, just the ability that, well, the fact that each NPC had their own kind of daily life routine was such a mind-blowing concept to me at the time. You know, having, you know, we also, you know, chatted very briefly about King's Quest, you know, previous newscast, and those games to me were the best. And then I got into Ultima, and I thought to myself, wow, King's Quest was very cool for what it is and what it was, but Ultima and Ultima 7, I mean, this just kind of blows the doors off completely.
Yeah, King's Quest, that was really fun. It was a great story and everything. I actually had a lot more fun in the Heroes Quest for Glory series than I did with the King's Quest, just because the combat system was a lot more advanced and exciting, and it just seemed like there was a lot of stuff to discover in those kind of games. And then there was Ultima, which was better than all of them, just because of how much of a sandbox it was. You could go anywhere. You didn't have just the couple of scenes you could look at. You had like a whole world you could explore. That was the thing I liked the most about Ultimas.
You hit the nail right on the head, sandbox. It was the ability at that time, which, let's be honest, I mean, we're talking early 90s. I mean, the graphics compared to today were, you know, in the Stone Age. But at the time, you know, they were so innovative, and to have this open-ended world where it wasn't just, okay, you have to follow this exact storyline in order to beat the game. You could create your own storyline. There were many ways, not just one way, but multiple ways to get to that ending. And sometimes there are even multiple endings, which I thought, given the time and, you know, the limited technology, is really quite impressive.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I don't remember having any problem with the graphics or anything back then, because that was, you know, the 90s, so graphics were all kind of iffy anyway. But it's hard to go back and play it now, only because it's just so different than the games that you get in and play now. So that's the hardest part I have with like replaying those Ultima 7s and earlier. It's just, ooh, it's a little archaic.
You see, I agree with you. Back then the graphics were the best of their time and were absolutely mind-blowing. You know, I'm just saying in reference to the games today. And like you look at Ultima 7 now compared with Skyrim, and it's, you know, you can't even really compare. But having said that, to this day, I can still go back and play Ultima 7 and have just as much fun playing it now as I, you know, did when I was a kid. Now, my one thing, Lord Baldur, that I wish they would do, and I don't know how you would do this because EA has all the rights, but is a remake of Ultima 5, because Ultima 5 was such an amazing and incredible game that I loved and enjoyed as a kid, but the graphics, they're too basic, and it's too aggravating to play nowadays. But if they redid it, oh my god, I mean, I would spend $100 just buying that game alone, the remake of it, because I loved it so much as a kid.
Yeah, me too. I would play any of those remakes, and I wish they would do that. I know they've talked about remaking 6 and 7, but I don't know if they ever finished. And yeah, those games, that's the problem. It's just a little too hard to play, just because, yeah, you're looking at like little stars for your roads and stuff. It's a lot harder to play nowadays. Even though the story is great and everything, it's just hard to get through that aspect of it for me anyway.
No, I couldn't agree more, which is why, you know, when we look at Shroud of the Avatar, you know, I'm so excited about, you know, every bit of lore and all the introductions of the new pieces of lore type content that, you know, give us more of an understanding of the world and, you know, what happened and, you know, why are we here and, you know, what's the ultimate purpose of the Oracle and, you know, our point of being here type of thing. I mean, I love that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, and I get yelled at a lot on the forums for complimenting the graphics, but I think the world environment of our game is top of the line. I think it's gorgeous. I don't think there's anything to complain about on it, but, you know, I guess maybe I'm just seeing it through, you know, rose-colored goggles, because I just think, you know, the way that they've done just the mountains and the roads and the trees and the plant life, I think it's just gorgeous. I mean, I'm not saying the characters and all that are beautiful, but the environment, you just can't say that's not gorgeous. I just don't understand where people are saying, oh, the graphics are so 90s. Like, where are you getting this?
People really complain about that. People really say that the graphics are so 90s, because I was alive in the 90s, and in the 90s you didn't have anywhere near as incredible graphics as we have in this game. I mean, yeah, yeah. To your point, you're right, the characters could do with a little bit of work, but the environment and, you know, the fact that when I look up in the sky and there's, you know, those little sun rays that I can see, and you have like the sun circles that, you know, accentuate, you know, glistening off the tree. I mean, I love that. It's incredible.
Yeah, I know. I probably don't explain it well when I'm saying that. I just said, you know, they got a picture of another game. Look how good this game is. Wish we could get all their developers. And it's like, oh, all right, guys. For one thing, those graphics are kind of cartoony. And for another thing, our game is gorgeous. And, you know, you just got to admit that. But people, they just, I don't understand why they're so down on our graphics. I just don't understand that train of thought, because I think the graphics in our game have been really good since at least release 12 or further, you know, and especially since the Unity 5 came on, and the lighting and all that stuff's even better. I just think it's getting better every release.
I agree. You know, I think haters just gonna hate, you know? They're just gonna complain because they're not satisfied that it's not a full PvP game.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder, is this the PvP people? And it doesn't matter how perfect the graphics are, if the PvP is not right, then the whole game's lousy. It's from the 90s. Something like that, maybe.
You know, but, you know, I'm not a computer technology guy, and I apologize for my ignorance on that front. But, you know, how is it? I mean, would it even be possible to have graphics like you might have in like a Skyrim, or, you know, as we were talking a little bit offline earlier, Witcher 3, which are just beyond, I mean, it's like almost being in real life. I mean, it's that incredible. I mean, could you even have something like that in an online game? I don't know if you could.
Well, I'm sure they could probably get closer, but the problem with getting anything that realistic is you're probably going to run into a lot of problems with your performance. And that's going to mess a lot of people up. You know how people are real picky about crashes and stuff. You don't want to add to that aspect of the game. At the same time, you want the game to look nice. And I think they've met a very happy medium with our game. I think it's gorgeous. As far as I played Vanguard for a long time, and I always loved the graphics on that game. But this game just blows that away. So, I don't know. I don't think they're doing that bad.
No, nor me. I agree. I mean, I think the graphics in Trail of the Avatar are fantastic. And I love the game and the environment and exploring and, you know, seeing new places and, you know, wait with eager anticipation of every new environment that we get to see in each new release.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait till they get all the different biomes done, because I'm really excited to see what the cities are going to look like.
So, Lord Baldrith, before we get into our newscast, I want to ask you a question, my friend.
Sure.
Will you adventure with me into the Town of Vengeance so I don't get killed and PK'd the moment I step foot into town?
Oh, sure. I can do that. I can take that adventure with you. I think that'd be fun.
Wonderful. We'll robe in the Mad Hermit, just because I know he loves to get into a little bit of trouble, and see if we can take a couple steps in without getting our, you know, butts completely whooped.
Ooh, you want a video of this, huh?
Well, not just the video. Just I love adventuring with the Mad Hermit. He's a dear friend, and think very highly of him.
Oh yeah, Mad Hermit's awesome guy. I like him a lot.
All right, so I have your word, my friend. Next time we're both online, I'm going to ping you, and we are going to head to Vengeance and hopefully not get killed together.
Oh, yeah, just give me a ping. I'm not completely low level, so I think I can at least take a couple of hits, but you never know. These PvP guys, they can do 100 damage with one hit, so you never know.
The only time I've ever been into a shard fall was to get one of the hats. I think it was the Carnivale mask, and I remember Bambino was like, "I'm gonna kill you, Cordelaine," and I was like, "Just let me talk to him first, then you can kill me to your desire."
Oh, cool! Did he let you get the hat at least?
He did. He was at least kind enough to let me get the hat, and then he slaughtered me completely.
Ah, well, that's good. That was good of him. At least you can give him that much. I don't think Envy would have given you that much courtesy.
You know, and that's fair enough. You know, I have to constantly remind myself, this is just a game. I can get this darn thing. I can get one of these hats eventually.
That's right. It's you can bring your crowd of friends in there and do it.
Well, now I have you, Lord Baldrith, so I have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I'll be your bodyguard, sure.
Yeah, man, you can be my bodyguard and my decoy. You stand there and fight. I'm going to go run for that automaton pretty quick to get the hat.
Get the hat real quick, yeah. Hey, I don't think they've put a hat in one of the PvP areas in about 4 releases because there was such an outcry about it, so we'll see.
Was there really?
Oh, yeah, the PvE crowd, they weren't happy about that forced PvP zone thing. It was kind of funny to read, but at the same time, I was sympathetic.
But, you know, it's interesting. You and I both said earlier that, you know, we're not PvP folks, but what do we really enjoy most about UO? You know, well, not the most per se, but one of the things we really enjoyed was that there was this realistic PvP element outside of, you know, the major towns like Britain, where, you know, you were no longer under guard's protection. And, you know, I think it's silly for folks to get wound up about stuff like that because, you know, that's what makes it fun. It's that sense of danger, you know, and I kind of like that.
Yeah, it was a new experience for us. It was the first online game I'd ever played, and I loved the character development in UO. To me, that was the best part of the game. It took so long to customize your character and max out your skills. That was what I enjoyed about my UO experience, just more than just the PvP. That was just a side effect of it, you know, you just kind of dealt with that, but I just love the combat system.
I agree. I mean, it was so unique, and like you said, I mean, you could customize your own character through just a vast expanse of skills that it was quite sandbox and unique that not every character was the same. I mean, you were kind of like a snowflake. Each one is unique. You know, each character is someone new unto themselves.
Yeah, no, you get a lot of people saying, oh, everyone's going to have the same build, but it's not true, because in UO, I did some unique stuff with my mage because I decided adding a hide skill to my mage would be very beneficial, and I don't know of anybody else that I played with that had hide on their mage, and it really helped me for just checking out areas before I actually went there. And just in case there was PKs there, or in case there was a creature by the door, it was a lot of fun for me.
I completely agree. You know, it's funny. I learned very quickly. Hide was imperative. I would, like, again, not a PvP guy, but I would hide and then sneak just to check out that, you know, the area of trees that I was about to chop down, because I was a ranger slash kind of archer type back then, and you know, I needed to make my own bows and arrows, and I remember hiding and sneaking was so important just to scout ahead and make sure I wasn't going to get completely trounced.
Yeah, no, it was bad because a lot of times you'd want to do your gathering in Felucca because you get double resources. So I had a book of Felucca and a book of Trammel, places to get my wood and get my ore, wherever, and had all the spots organized. And yeah, hide was very handy for those things.
Well, my hope is that in Shroud of the Avatar moving forward, that the gathering system, you know, will get a little bit more sophisticated, in the sense that I'm chopping down an entire tree and it's giving me a little bit more, or at least making what it takes to craft the items a little bit less of items needed in order to craft them. And so if I'm chopping down this whole pine tree or maple tree, that, you know, I'm not just getting one log, I'm getting maybe five or six, kind of thing.
I noticed they have brought in our meticulous gathering, I think they call it, on this release 18, and I was getting quite a bit of cotton and stuff with just one thing, because it was going two and three times, which was giving me a good six, seven pieces sometimes. So it's better than it was last release.
Oh, that's awesome. I actually haven't had a chance to do any gathering so far in this release, but that's good to know.
Well, it was real sweet of them not to wipe our level, so we got all of our harvesting gains and everything is still there, so I could test that one out right away.
You would probably know better than I, but it seems to me that since I've been a part of Shroud of the Avatar and the pre-alpha experience here, that, you know, they've staggered the wipes. It's never, at least to me, I've never had, you know, one release wipe and then immediately right after that another release and a wipe.
Ooh, well, you're lucky. I'm trying to think. They started the non-wiping probably around release 12, something like that, where before that every single release was a wipe. It was a new, you had to start a new character and the whole thing and find a new house, and oh yeah, it was a challenge.
Wow, so you're right, because I joined right at that point. Wow, that's very interesting. I guess I have been very lucky.
Yeah, I think the most they've done was like three releases without a wipe, which is, it's like heaven. It's like, oh good, I'm still high level, I can still get my hat easy, and my house is still there, I don't have to mess around with getting home from work early enough to get a house. Yeah, it's a lot better.
Or taking off work to make sure you're online at, you know, I'm Eastern Standard Time here, so, you know, online at, what is it, 11:30, 10:30 a.m. to get on there to make sure I'm part of the rush.
Yeah, it was really bad, like, before the last couple of releases when there wasn't hardly any lots. And forget it, if you had a city lot, you're not going to find one, because it was, like, just in the main cities. But now they've started putting all the different sizes in those little teeny cities that they created. So finding a lot's a lot easier now.
It is. It is. And certainly with the introduction of more and more player-owned towns, there certainly won't be any problem with finding housing in every release.
Oh yeah, I think it's just going to get better and better. I can't wait till they start putting like groups of player-owned towns, you know, the real ones, so we can like really get to see all the variations. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm really psyched about that. Like, that's probably the thing I look forward to the most with each release is, you know, it seems like they're doing, you know, a new town each release. And, you know, last one was obviously Pax Lair, which we talked about briefly last newscast, which took me 45 minutes to an hour just to fully explore. And now now that I know that I have you to help guard and protect me, Lord Baldrith, we're going to check out Vengeance, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. I think there might be some pictures of it in this news week. There were some pictures I think might be from that city. I can't wait to see it myself.
Well, on that note, and before my girlfriend gets more aggravated at me, shall we go through the news of the week here?
Yeah, we probably should. You don't want to hold her up any longer, because yeah, it takes a minute to do the news. That's funny.
Well, I will take your follow your lead, and why don't you tee us off here, my friend?
Okay, yeah, we'll just go through these. It's a pretty good amount of stuff they put in this release. This is update of the Avatar number 127. Playing release 18 now. Open PvP and Vengeance. Avatar's Radio Patron. over $8,000 raised for water.org, and more. So we can start out with the Play Release 18 now, and there's a nice picture there. I think that picture is awesome with the new pavers they put all over the water. That looks really cool.
Very cool. Big fan of that, and big fan of the pavers in general. I'm glad that they finally tweaked and fixed the fences around our properties, because I had a heck of a time last release trying to get them to fit, and now they all fit perfectly. So I'm very, very happy about that.
I need to play with that. I haven't messed with it since I fixed it, because I was just so aggravated at I spent all that time on my fence, and it's the last piece wouldn't fit, and you couldn't do anything about it. It was like a puzzle that was missing a piece or something.
Lord Baldrith, I probably spent about an hour trying to get my stone ivy, tall fences to fit on my village lot. Wouldn't happen. Now, it fits. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's very sweet. I'm glad they got that working now. I can't wait to try that out. I'm gonna take my fence down and try it again. That'll be cool.
Indeed you should, my friend.
I shall. Looks like they had Avatar Radio Fire Lotus Release 18 party hosted by 4B on the island of Ester Cove. And then there's some screenshots we could check out. And Release 18 successfully launched yesterday, May 28th, with thousands of backers downloading, patching, logging in, and checking out the new changes. Lots of new content to explore, including Vengeance, Soda's first open PvP player-owned town, dynamic creature and resource spawning, 16 improved scenes, new combat deck mechanics, overworld camera changes, new armor and armor variations, astronomy and calendar, new user experience revamp, and more. So there's lots of new stuff to look at.
Like I said, all the things I will be checking out this weekend, and I'm very psyched to see.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to finally get to play a little bit. I've only got to play for like an hour. The only thing I noticed is I couldn't get into Pax Lair. I kept crashing on it earlier today when I was trying to get in there and get another tour guide done. So I hope that's going to work for me.
Oh, is one of the tour guides for the Bicocket hat in Pax Lair?
Yeah, believe it or not, they put one in Pax Lair. Isn't that something? That makes us explore all of the new areas.
I think that's very cool. I mean, I love how they do that. I mean, I think it's great to force players to explore the new areas of the game and at the same time discover new things that we've never seen before.
Yeah, and I have absolutely no problem with them putting like actual game quests inside personal player-owned towns. I think that's a really nice thing, and it gives people a reason to explore all of the towns, not say, oh, that's just a player-owned town, there's nothing there. See, they can put stuff in there, that'll be cool.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right on point.
Well, here's another good piece of news. We've got the Mad Hermit showing us how to get the Bicocket hat, and that is a great video. I watched it earlier today. He does a great job.
Let's not give him too much credit here. I mean, he has a big enough inflated ego as it is. He's got his special award medal, you know, that he just got from Mr. Garriott. They're nice, but let's not overinflate his ego here.
Yeah, I always get the impression Matt Herman's a nice guy, and I don't think any of that goes to his head. He just does it for the love of the game.
No, he's salt of the earth, one of the greatest human beings alive. He's a dear friend, love him to pieces, great guy, just teasing him.
You can tell just by watching him, listening to him, that he's just nothing but a nice guy, big heart, everything. That's the thing I like about him so much, that, you know, you can just see he's a real guy. It's cool.
Yeah, and he, he was telling me that it takes about, you know, a few hours. I think he said 3 to 4 hours to do one of these, you know, 15-minute videos. So he spends a lot of time putting all these together, and he does one every release, you know, for each and every hat, so to speak, or, you know, whatever they trinket thing that they give out from those automatons. And you got to give it up to the guy that he spends the time and releases it to us all to experience and enjoy.
Well, he does a great job. It's so professional looking. He cuts out all the excess. It's just right to the point. He skips through the cutscenes. It's just beautiful the way he does it. That's the thing I like the most about watching them, is just that the way they're put together. It's just very interesting. It's like watching a movie.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Very well done. Very well done. He does an excellent job, for sure. Absolutely.
I do want to give a shout out too, though, to Envico Gaming, which I think is Envy, when he also does the hat walkthroughs, which I use that one sometimes because I literally did get lost in one of the places that you had to find it, and oh, the creatures there are horrible. So I did use Envy's to get that hat or that tour guide.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I'll have to check that out. That's good to know. Thanks, Lord Baldrith.
Yeah, just another option in case the Mad Hermit's, because he does skip through some of the walking on some of the scenes, which are, oh, they're ugly. The one with those little sand elementals, they're deadly. I tried fighting a sand elemental, and that sucker, I barely survived him. Like, I had like less than a half life. And then he like respawned or something, or he came back to life. I don't know what it was, but he beat me down.
I have never beaten one of those things. And now, granted, I've only fought one twice, but I've never beaten one.
Oh, they hurt. That earthquake, that's a nasty spell.
I know, but how cool do they look? They do look pretty freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah, they're totally awesome. You just got to know when to run.
It's like my man Kenny Rogers once said, got to know when to hold them, got to know when to fold them, got to know when to walk away, except in this case, know when to run your ass away.
That's right. Hey, it's almost like a game of poker, huh?
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, we've got some R18 patch notes. There was a giant list of patch notes posted by Darkstar. And,
wow.
It's a good number of them. I'll let you guys read through those on your own because there's like lots of them. So it's all good stuff there.
And yeah, there's just a few. I think we should leave that probably up to our dear listeners to read by themselves.
Yeah, a couple of noted ones, though, that I'm just seeing here. The slash zone is now interrupted by entering combat, and I thought that was always the case, but maybe they're making it a little more strict even now.
What do you mean, that you can't do that when you're fighting an enemy?
Yeah, I was under the impression once you're in combat, you can't zone, and you can't get back to your house or anything. You got to get out of combat first.
I was, too, because Lord knows I've tried that trick before, certainly last release, and it never worked.
No, the only hope you've got of getting out of a battle like that is, like, just finding a way to leave the scene while you're running. But the zone never did work for me, anyway.
Nor me, but interesting to know that now it certainly doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, that's a legitimate fix, though, if it wasn't working properly, so that's good. And, also, we're talking again about the new player guide from the Mad Hermit, and he's got a great guide there that will introduce newcomers to the game, so that's all good stuff, too. Another great video by the Mad Hermit, and making his head bigger.
Cheers to the man.
Yep. And player-owned town number 2 is the open PvP town of Vengeance, and as soon as PvP was introduced in Soda Release 8, Duke Violation and the Order of Vengeance Guild hosted the very first PvP tournament in Shroud of the Avatar on July 24th, 2014. Here's a screenshot and excerpt about those first tournaments from Update of the Avatar number 84. So that's pretty cool stuff. So I didn't realize it was that long ago. Wow, time sure does fly.
God, it's amazing. Wow. I mean, just look at where we are now. It's incredible to see how much has been done in such a short amount of time. I mean, it really, again, just goes back to what we've always been saying, that, just everyone needs to be patient, chill the you-know-what out, and look at what the developers are doing. I mean, they're really doing a tremendous and incredible job.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's just getting better every release. They're just adding, they're going back and they're polishing up areas we've played that are just looking so much better now, especially the Overland map. I think it's just extremely awesome.
Yeah, not to get too off topic, but I was reading the forums, people complaining about, the Overland map and that, it's not as realistic. You can walk across the entire world, very quickly, and then there's other people complaining that, like, you walk too slowly on the Overland map. I like the Overland map. I think that the dynamics of it are very cool because you're not really exploring the Overland map. You're exploring the different areas that you're entering into, which are quite expansive once you're actually inside of them.
And I think it makes the world feel bigger, too, because you've got all these different places you can go to that are just... The Overland map is kind of mapping them out for you. It's not really part of what you're going to go fight or harvest. It's just, they've made it beautiful, though, is a way to get from point A to point B, and I don't think they're ever going to make anybody happy as far as speed goes, because some people want it fast, some people want it slow, so you can't do anything about that except for, you know, just make it in the middle, I guess, like they're doing now. I think they've done a pretty good job on the speed now.
Yeah, no, I agree. On speed-wise, I think the way it is now is perfect. I hope they don't change it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the whole thing is unbelievably huge in my mind when you take into account that we haven't even seen the entire game world yet. We've seen a fraction of the entire thing. And then when you take the overland map and then you look at the different areas that you zone into, those areas that we zone into are humongous. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what they're going to be like when the whole thing's finished, with all the different nooks and crannies to explore and check out. It's going to be absolutely incredible, and I'm very, very excited for that.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. And they were saying they're going to make it so eventually some of the scenes will be able to connect with each other, and so our areas are going to get even bigger. And there's loads of like cities and stuff that you see on the map if you look at the game map that aren't even in the game yet. So this world is going to be huge. And this is only episode one. It's going to double and double and double. And this game's, I think it's going to be bigger than any other game out there.
You know, I think so too. And I've been reading a lot about that on the forums. And I'm crossing my fingers and hoping, Lord Baldur, that that is the case. Because that's what I loved about, you know, all the Ultima games, especially 7 and, you know, 5, 6, 7, because they were so huge, that the worlds were so expansive, and that you could explore and could, you know, beat the game, but then years later play it again and discover something completely new. Except now, it's a continual world, it's a growing world, it's a world that's always expanding and ever evolving, which makes it even more exciting.
Yeah, because they can go in there at any time and drop in a new area to explore, and you may not even know about it, and it's just something else to discover. That's really fun.
I agree. I think it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, good stuff. More on the Vengeance City. It says the Order of Vengeance, along with other PvP-friendly groups such as the Bear Tavern, BMC, etc., have been instrumental in helping us evolve combat and PvP in SOTA. Thus, when we introduced the ability for player-owned towns to be flagged as open PvP in Release 18, we chose Vengeance as the first POT to test that functionality. Additionally, allowed us to test the desert biome template that Abe Robertson adapted from Michael Hutchinson's original Paxlr forest biome template. So hence, that's the reason why they worked the desert template first. I was wondering on that.
Yeah, very cool. No, very, very cool. I like the desert biome. I mean, as we were kind of joking last newscast, I mean, the forest template is obviously the, you know, most common, but it's cool to see a new one, and obviously a new one with a massive player-owned town like Town of Vengeance.
Oh yeah, I'm excited to see a desert biome. It's a fairly new biome in the game too, so it's always neat to see the different kind of biomes. There's not that many of them right now, and I just can't wait to see all the different variations they're going to add to the game. I can't wait to see the snow biome. There's just like two snow scenes in the whole game right now, so I can't wait to see some more.
The snow one and the underground one are the two that I'm very much looking forward to.
Yes, underground too. Yeah, I wonder whose city's going to be first to check that out, because there's a couple of those cities too. That'd be cool.
All the more reason to be very excited about all of the future releases.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I can't wait to release 20 and 21, you know, when they're going to get fishing and gardening and all those things that I'm really excited about, too. That'll be great.
Yeah, it will be very, very cool when we finally have all those things implemented. But, you know, like I've always kind of said, I'm more than happy to wait just as long as they get it right. And at least in my very humble opinion, they've been getting everything right so far. So very excited for all of this.
Oh yeah, big kudos to the devs. They're doing a great job. They're putting up a lot of guff and hassle, but they're just chugging along, and the game's looking better and better each release.
Absolutely.
Okay, so one last note about the Town of Vengeance. The Town of Vengeance is located at the northern end of the Grunwald Desert. So if you're looking for it, it's over there by all those crystally areas there. And not all that far from Pax Lair, actually. So I probably went right past it when I was going to Pax Lair. And so they're hosting some PvP events during R18. So there's a list of the community events on the list. And below are a few screenshots of the Town of Vengeance. But first, here's a message in a runic scroll that Duke Violation posted in the Release 18 event forum. Player Town Vengeance Quests. Hail Avatars, I have found this stuck on the wall of my website. I wanted to share it with you. It seems to be important in some way. Take note, this will only be viable information in the Player Town of Vengeance. And the whole thing is written in runic, so that'd be fun to decipher and see what he's saying there.
Now, let me ask your opinion on something, Lord Baldrith. I mean, folks complain all the time about, enough of the runic, I hate having to translate. Then you have people like myself that love the runic and like to actually learn what each little symbol means and how to translate it. What are your thoughts on that?
That is also my feeling on it. When I played Ultima 7, I actually memorized all of the runic just because of how many times I had to look things up, because nothing was written in English in that game. And you just learn it. It's one of those fun aspects of the game. I know it's irritating at first because you can't tell what anything is and you don't want to mess with it, but eventually you do learn it because it really helps your gameplay. It's fun. I like it.
As a complete and total lore nerd, I loved it. And like you, during Ultima 7, I learned how to translate it all and memorized it because you're right. I mean, everything is in runic, but it's all part of that immersive environment, and especially because, you know, this isn't a single-player game. Well, I mean, it's single-player / multiplayer, but, you know, for me, I'm only going to play it multiplayer. But, you know, because it's a multiplayer game where we're now learning a whole new runic language, it'll be interesting to see how much they put in the game of runic versus, English, you might say.
Yeah, as it stands now, it looks like they're moving the map to runic only until you get close enough to where you can see the enter button. So they're going that way with it. So I'm happy about that, but I know there's people that don't like that. So I don't know. I've got my list of letters printed out in big fonts. I'm going to paste on the wall here pretty soon, so I'm not going to have a problem with it anyway.
Well, I love it, Lord Baldrith, and for all those people that don't, they're idiots.
Yeah, you can go there, huh? That's awesome. These are some gorgeous pictures. I guess they said these pictures are from the City of Vengeance. So, yeah, statue, there's like an Oracle's Tower. It's very cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I am very excited for when you and I go exploring in here a little bit later, my friend.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to go in there and take a peek and try not to get killed. That'd be fun.
Hopefully our hide skill is strong enough to not be perceived or so on.
I might have to respec. I've never tried hideout, so I'll have to go down moon magic and see. Because moon magic's never complete, so I don't like to go down trees that aren't complete, so I haven't messed with it yet.
Oh, I was just kidding. I didn't even know that moon magic had a hide/camouflage spell.
Yeah, I forget if it's called hide, but I think there is a spell called vanish or something like that down the moon magic tree. And I saw that and I said, oh yeah, I would like to try that, but not until there's more stuff for me to use, because there's not a whole lot of offensive stuff in that tree thus far, so I like to do damage.
Yeah, and I did see that with the sun and moon magic with this release, that the strength of those spells is predicated obviously upon, you know, the it being daytime or nighttime, and the sun and the moon, obviously, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome. The only thing is, when you've got one or the other, you're like, it's always, you know, whatever makes it weaker. It's always that time of day. It just gets frustrating on that aspect of it. That's why it'd probably be a good idea to have sun and moon magic. Then you have, you know, just switch off to whichever one the sun dictates.
See, Lord Baldrith, you're already figuring out your new mage spec, the Sun Moon Mage.
That's right. Sun Moon Mage, yeah, that'd be cool. Then you just do a swap deck. Okay, here's my moon spells, here's my sun spells. That'd be good.
Exactly. And like I can even give you the name of your character and the backstory. You're a mage from Arterus. Your name is Sun Woon Lee. And yeah, like I said, you're from Arterus.
That'll be great. You know, I love the music and art. I don't know if you've been there, but I love the new song in Arterus. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm going to put that in my playground town.
Oh, it's fantastic. Big, big fan of the new music. Big fan.
Yep, and big fan of Charm. It's another Charm song. I like her song. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, you know, just to go back to that and touch very briefly again on how, I think it's very cool that the developers are allowing players to generate content to this level and have it part of the game. I just think that's so incredible.
Yeah, I've always said it. I think it's just unbelievable how talented this community is. They can do art that's awesome. They can do songs that are awesome. They do story writing that's awesome. It's just amazing to me. If they really wanted to, they could have the community write, a half of this game and save them a lot of work. But I just know it's a lot of work for them to go through it and get it modified for the game. But they really could. They could use the community to write half this game or more.
Which is incredible when you think about it. I mean, I wish I had some, computer science like technology skills. I don't at all. I just love to game, and I'm a huge gaming nerd. But you're right. I mean, just thinking of Materia, who's in my guild, Phoenix Republic, and his community app. We now have his app and another app being developed. I just think that's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are excessively talented. You talk about Material and Brenton and all those guys that are making these awesome phone apps. I'm waiting for them to get done so I can put them on my phone. They're just beautiful, the screenshots I've seen of them.
You can actually, if you email Material, he'll give you, I have an Android phone. I know you can get it on an iPhone, but for Android, he has to send you the appropriate link or add you or whatever. He added me. I have it on my phone, and I listen to Avatar's radio on my phone on the way to work, which is great.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that was my problem. I don't have an iPhone either, and that was the first both of them started with, so I've kind of been waiting on the Android functionality.
Yeah, just shoot Materio a note in the forums, and he'll send you the info or add you or however he does it. I can't remember, but I'm set up, and I've had it on my phone now for about 2 months, and it's awesome. I mean, it's fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'll have to do that. I can't wait to. I like the whole mapping thing that they've got on there. That'd be really, really handy thing to have by you when you're gaming, too.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
All right, so we can move on to the Avatars Radio presents Fire Lotus's traditional release 18 party. Today at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, Avatars Radio presented with the help of gracious hosting of the 4B, the traditional Fire Lotus release party. The party was held on the island of Ester Cove, just off of Kingsport. Hats off to 4B for their rather unique water deck they constructed with pavers. Not necessarily how we intended pavers to function, but hey, it looks really cool. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Was that intentional? I guess not.
It does look very cool. It looks like a Las Vegas pool party.
It does. I would wonder, though, maybe they could make pavers that were meant to float on water, just for this kind of thing. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this looks, bad. I mean, I think it, just use your imagination and think, all right, well, it's not just floating. It goes straight down to the ocean floor.
Or you could always just use, that's held up by magic. This is a game of magic. Yay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, irritate a lot of people. That's why I say it. I tried using that argument before on one of the threads that was about having a yard full of stuff that shouldn't be able to stack. It's magic.
Yeah, I actually made a comment about that myself in the forums ages ago, just saying, please stop doing that. It's really annoying. It makes the whole thing look, in my opinion, it makes me kind of feel like a snobby homeowner, where you're angry that your neighbor is not, has the pink flamingos and the gnomes on the lawn, and you want your, perfectly picketed fence, property. But I hate to say that, but I do kind of agree. I hate when people stack, Ankh on top of Ankh or Oracle Head on top of Oracle Head. It's come on, what is the point of that?
Yeah, I don't quite know what the point is. I think a lot of the people are just experimenting with all their junk, or they're just throwing all the trash on the yard. They don't have time to organize it. That's what I figure. I figure once the game gets into play, we'll see a lot more detail orientation going on, because they get wiped a lot. So it's get tired of making things pretty, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, Lord Baldur. And you know what? I'll say this. I would rather have the option for players to be able to do it than have them restrict and say, no, you can't do it. I would rather folks, even though I hate it, I'd rather people be able to have the opportunity to do it if they so choose.
Well, yeah, I feel the same way. I hate to say, you know, everybody should be able to do whatever they want and make a mess of the whole game. But you know what? That was one of the things that I enjoyed about Ultima Online, was the fact that you could walk around and you could see every house was different, every yard was different. And that was just, it felt like a real world, because that's how it is in real life. You walk around, some people's houses are a mess, and some people's houses are nice. It's just kind of realistic to me.
Couldn't agree more. I absolutely agree. It's the realism that I think adds to the game and makes it so much fun, and that is just one aspect.
That's right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the ideas everybody comes out with. People are pretty smart in this game, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, you know, I mean, I like this. I mean, right now, that's one of my favorite things to do is, you know, decorate my my various houses in game. And, you know, right now I'm just finishing up my little village property in Soul Town. And, you know, I'm very psyched about what I've done. And, you know, I love that. I love how you can go around and see just how some people have really made very impressive and beautiful, 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 unique housing and houses and properties and decorations. It's just very, very cool.
Oh yeah, I know. I think it's just looking at the chairs in that picture. It's like, wow, they don't have a lawn chair in the game, and they've made this out of like bolts of cotton, bolts of cloth. It's just awesome. I love that kind of stuff.
You know, I didn't even think about that until you just brought that up with the skeleton here. That is awesome. You're right. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, wasn't it a pretty slick idea? I never thought about that. That's awesome.
It is awesome. It's very fun. I've never played it, but it reminds me of that game Minecraft, where you can do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played EverQuest 2 for quite a while, and there was a lot of missing objects in that game, and you'd see a lot of creativity in that game, too. But you could, like, literally move doors and walls around in your houses there, but it was nothing like our game's going to be, because our game's a lot more open world, which is much more exciting to me.
Yeah, I agree. The whole open world aspect is what draws me to this, and you know that, of course, and tied in with the Ultima, you know, Richard Garriott background. Love that.
Oh yeah, that's why we're here for this, the sandbox open world. Yay! Been waiting for it for years.
And here we are.
Here we are. All right, we have some really good news here. This is a good announcement from Portalarium here for Avatars Radio. Last newscast, we did our first shout-out to support Avatars Radio, and it seems like the word is spreading now, because now we see it on Portalarium's website. It says, support Avatars Radio on Patreon. We want to give a special shout-out to Amber Rain, founder of Avatars Radio, for the selfless labor of love she pours into keeping Avatars Radio on the air, keeping it fresh, recruiting, and coordinating a host of awesome DJs to entertain the entire Soda community in and out of the game. Avatars Radio very first broadcasts were in December of 2013, with random streaming for those just hanging out in IRC. Their first actual air date as an official legal license and royalty paid station was January 31st, 2014, during Soda Release 1. Avatars Radio About page describes their purpose thus: this station was created with the love of our community and fellow citizens in Lord British Richard Garriott's new world of Shroud of the Avatar. Our dream desire is to serve and share simply by airing community's work through the Moon Towers. We have an open welcoming of all submissions from our community, sharing the talents of the community as well as that of the terrestrial in your events, parties, and celebrations. Avatars Radio also carries a newscast to keep you up to date on what is happening in your world. Hence, that's us. Amber and her team go to great lengths to provide awesome programming for all of us, but it comes at a cost. As Soda continues to grow in popularity, bringing in more and more players, the number of Avatar Radio listeners also increases, and the music royalties they pay through stream licensing continues to increase. Amber and her team started a Patreon site to help offset the costs of keeping Avatar Radio on the air. If you love listening to Avatars Radio, now is your chance to help Amber and her team keep it on the air. For more information, check out the Avatar Radio Patreon site and all the cool rewards they offer their patrons. So this is a great shout out from Portalarium to Avatars Radio, and you can reach that Patreon site by going to avatarsradio.com. And there's a link for the Patreon site. So donate if you can. It's very helpful. The radio is very expensive to run, so that's great. I love to see this on the website.
Well, you know what makes me really excited about this, Lord Baldrith, is, you know, when we were doing last week's newscast, and, you know, you guys educated me on how you know, Amber Rain was literally, you know, making up the cost of everything that was left over that, you know, she had to, you know, pay for all the streaming music. And I went on and, you know, I became a patron myself to help kind of, you know, defray part of that cost. And I saw that, you know, they list, you know, $600 was the minimum, the amount necessary each month just to cover the basic needs. And I think at that point it was just under $500 when I became a patron. And I looked today and it's well over $600. And I was very excited about that. I thought that was really a tremendous, you know, stepping up of the community and the devs and everyone at Portalarium to kind of help her and, you know, integrate this further into the game and make it the success that it's been since day one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of times we actually don't think about that there's actual costs in some of this stuff that's like, it's part of the game. So I think it's very important to kind of just open everybody's eyes on this. And I'm just really glad that Portalarium has done that. And I was willing to go all the way with this, with the promotion of this, and I'm still going to do it, but I'm just glad to see Portalarium's doing it, because that's going to get to a lot more people than we do. So that's good stuff.
I agree. It's very nice to see them stepping up like this and helping out and just adding, you know, their weight to, you know, this endeavor. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome, and that's kudos to Portalarium for that, and big kudos to Amber Rain and Avatars Radio and the team there that does a great job for our game and for our community. It's just great stuff.
Hear, hear.
And so we've got some more good news here. Rise Up Gaming plus Soda backers raise over $8,000 for water.org. So the Rise Up Gaming sponsored a marathon last weekend for water.org, an organization that brings water to those who cannot get clean, safe water. They've already raised $2,225 at their site, give.water.org/f/riseupgaming/, exceeding their goal of $1,500. Additionally, as part of Portalarium's funding, founding purpose to promote goodwill and make a positive difference in the world, we recently added our first Make a Difference items to the add-on store. So for each of those items that you purchase, Portalarium will give 50% of its share of the purchase price. By purchasing these items, you are helping to make a difference in the lives of those less fortunate than ourselves. These items are dedicated to water.org, a nonprofit organization that has transformed hundreds of communities in Africa, South Asia, and Central America by providing access to safe water and sanitation. Learn more here at water.org. Our backers continue to amaze us with their outpouring of support. Since introducing these items 2 weeks ago, backers have purchased over $14,000 worth of them, with over $6,000 of this going to water.org. Between donations from our backers and donations at Rise Up Gaming's site, over $8,000 has been raised for water.org. So that's awesome news, especially helping out communities in other places where they just can't get clean water, and that's a serious problem.
Yeah, potable water in areas of, especially areas of Africa and Central America, I mean, that's a very, very important pressing issue. So I think it's incredible that our community purchased over $14,000 of these items to help support this effort. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. I'm proud of the community on that. And, you know, throw swag at us. We're going to support anything. So, you know, I know I bought the well because it's gorgeous, but I always wanted one too. And it also makes you feel good. You know, you're helping yourself and you're helping people. It's just great stuff.
Oh, Lord Waldreth, all you have to do is just throw out another cool little item like that well, and Lord knows Coeur d'Alene is going to be all over it, my friend.
You better know it. Yeah, swag. That's going to be the death of my bank account, I will tell you.
That and Relics by Rild. A little quick shout out to them. I have bought almost every little piece of memorabilia from that website. And the moment they come out with that Oracle pendant, I am literally scooping that bad boy up and sporting that around the fire department. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh yeah, hey yeah, you can do some little promo for the game over at the fire department there with all the t-shirts and stuff, huh?
Oh, they look at me and they're like, "You are obsessed." And I'm like, "Yes, yes, I am. Now leave me alone." Until we get a call, I'm going to be on here playing my game.
Yeah, I know. That's what I tell the guys at work too. It's like I'm a little obsessed, but hey, what can I do? I've been following this game for, going on 3 years, but I can't help it. I'm in love with it, you know?
And isn't that amazing? I mean, 3 years in the works and growing. You know what? Some people might complain about that, Lord Baldrith, but not me. I'll take as long as you need to, just get it right, make it the game that I know it's gonna be, and I'll be happy.
Oh yeah, in 3 years, that's not a big deal in terms of making a whole game. Most games, even a lot of the big games, they're taking 5, 6, 7 years to finish a game. So really not that big a deal, as far as time goes.
And with quadruple, if not quintuple, the budget. So, they're really doing a lot for, a very small fraction. I mean, not that 8 million, whatever million it is small, but when you look at how much it costs to put together World of Warcraft or games like Skyrim or even this Witcher 3 game I just read today cost close to $250 million. I mean, $250 million for a video game. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, and if it's anything like Dragon Age or one of those games, you can finish the stupid thing in a week. And so, wow, $80 million to finish a game that fast. It's like, it just seems like a lot of excess spending there.
Right, and then of course, you get into the whole argument of, well, it's like the movies, right? You're not gonna, what are you gonna do? Not publish the game? No, of course you are. You're gonna release the movie even if it's crap, and you're gonna release the game even if it's crap. I know that with Shroud of the Avatar and Portalarium, they're not gonna do that. They're gonna take their time, they're gonna listen to the community, they're gonna integrate our thoughts, and they're gonna make the best game possible. And I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, I am too. And as much as I'm excited for the game to go live, I also want it to be right because I saw games like Vanguard that were awesome games that went live too fast and it killed them. It totally killed the game because all the bugs and stuff that it took them forever to straighten out, by that time, everybody had already left. So if you don't do it right, you'll lose your game.
Vanguard could have been one of the best games of all time, and it just was a complete failure. I couldn't agree more. It was so awesome, and then they released it too soon, and it was a complete and total flop.
Yeah, and that was really sad because I played that game for 2 years until they closed it down, and I loved it. It was the biggest world I ever played, and it had all the features I was looking for with a deep crafting system and all the, you could build your house brick by brick and stuff like that. Those are things that you don't see in games, and I'm still sad that it's gone because I'd like to get on there every so often. But what do? You release it bad, and no matter how good the game is, people aren't going to forgive you.
This is very true, and thankfully we are part of a game that's even better now.
That's right. That's right. We're going to have a game that's even better, and it's gonna release when it's ready. That's what they always say, which is that's the great attitude to have.
It's ready when it's ready. Now chill the F out, right?
That's right. Yeah, I know. Calm down, people. I know it's been a while, but go do something else while you're waiting. No need to get in on every release and beef and beef and beef. I've got friends that I've told, you know what? Just go play another game and come back in like 4 releases, because oh, that's so negative. It just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. I mean, I Pillars of Eternity came out, played that until I beat that. Now I'm on to Witcher 3. Not to plug another game, but ladies and gentlemen out there, if you haven't had an opportunity to play Witcher 3, do yourself a favor. Go out, get yourself a copy. You will be thoroughly and very much enjoyably impressed.
Yeah, anything to pass the time of day. Movies only get you so far, so find some kind of a fun old game or something to play, and that helps pass the time too.
Couldn't agree more.
Awesome stuff. And some more swag, as we were talking about. They've added some new basements. For those of you that wish to expand the stone basements that were included in your village, town, city, keep, or castle pledge rewards, we have added the 5-story versions of these basements to the add-on store. So, the stone basement I must admit, is a lot easier to find your rooms in than what they call it, a timber one? Plaster and wooden timber or something? It's got a lot less rooms than that one, so it's easier to find your way around it. And it looks really cool. The walls are really nice on it. So anyone that wants that alternative for your five-story basement, it is another awesome thing you can buy for your house.
I mean, these five-story basements are incredible. I mean, the Keepstone five-story basement, I mean, it's a whole other building unto itself. I mean, it's really quite incredible.
Yeah, I've been in the castle one, and that one just, you get lost in it. So I'm sure the Keep one is similar. It's probably like 30 rooms on each floor, and you're like, wow, I don't know where I am. So that's good stuff for those pack rats like me.
Oh yeah, because look, let's be honest, Lord Walter, we need some place to store all of our items.
Heck yeah, how many items are we going to have when we start? By the time we start release, I bet you we have over 5,000 different items to like put somewhere. So we're going to need it.
You know what I'm kind of frustrated at, though? The one item that we don't have yet that I feel like should have been done ages ago was Yolo's mandolin or lute. You know, I want that darn lute. I want that lute. You know, put it up in my Lord Marshall Manor, you know, right in my bedroom. And I just kind of want it there. And for some reason, we still don't have it.
You know what? I've seen the lute in-game. It's sitting, I'm trying to remember if it's in Adoris or Braemar, but I've seen it. So I know it's in the game. They just don't have it so we can, like, pick it up and do anything with it yet. So
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's in Ardoris. It's right next door to the pub where you get the spirit talkers. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's in there, and it's really cool looking, and I wish we had it as well.
Yeah, that's how it was with the piano. You can see that in the game, too. We finally got that now. So, yeah, I'm sure the loot's not too far behind.
Fingers crossed, my friend.
And I think I saw somewhere, wasn't music in-game coming in release 19 or something like that? I forget, but yeah, they've got to do something with these functionalities.
Yeah, it is coming in 19, but you know, I'm okay with waiting with that. You know, I mean, it would be awesome to have it. I'm not saying it wouldn't, but you know, there are so many things that they're working on that if I have to wait to get the loot or wait to get the music from the loot or the piano, I'm okay with that.
I'm good with waiting. The one thing I think the piano is definitely missing is a piano, like a bench, you know, to sit at your piano, because I don't have one. I'm always wondering on that one.
Yeah, I know. So I'm using, it's funny you say that. I'm actually using a little stool that I have at my bar in my village house in Soul Town. I have the piano set up, and then I have I think it's the wooden stool with the kind of X legs. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. I think I've got one like that on my piano too. It works great.
It's the only one that fits, and you know, when you sit down, looks kind of normal. Not that anyone's really going to be sitting down playing the piano, but you know, if they wanted to, they could.
Yeah, once I can function with the piano, I'll probably mess around and try to see if I can play a song or something. It might be fun.
Oh, I'd love that. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and get a band together. You know, you got lute, piano. What else have we got? We got drums or anything yet?
I don't know. It's a good question. The only things that I know that we have or they're talking about putting in are the lute and the piano. And then was there a harpsichord? I can't remember.
I haven't seen one yet, but maybe there's one somewhere.
Who knows? Could be another item that we could buy.
Yeah, they could fill that add-on store up, and we could like have Star Citizen money if they filled that add-on store up. That's what I've always been saying. It's like, eh, oh well, it's good for my wallet anyway.
And mine, because I think you and I are very similar in that capacity of give us more trinkets and swag.
I know, I'm going to fill my house up with all this stuff. It'll be fun.
I love it.
I'll have to buy bank slots if they give us too much, though.
I know. That's the one downside. I just have to buy more bank slots. But the good thing is, you can buy bank slots with in-game money.
Yeah, you need, what is it, like 100 gold or something? Or 10 slots?
It's something like that. I actually haven't had the need quite yet, but you're right. Yeah, you know, at the rate we're going, probably need to just to accommodate all of the swag that we're picking up from the in-game store. Or the game store.
There's just a lot of stuff. Just trying to get all the stuff from your bank to your house takes at least two or three trips, just because it's so heavy.
I know, and then when they get rid of the zoning capability to your house, forget it. It's going to take even longer.
Oh yeah, you're going to have to walk. You'll have to trek all, and you won't be able to get a bank in your same little town unless you got a bank there, because those guys that do the banking and the crying are going to be gone.
They will be. They will be, which is why I know I was talking to Winfield a week or so ago, and his whole thing is making sure that he gets a banker in Paxlayer. You know, that's his big thing, is making sure that he has someone in there to be able to accommodate, you know, all the needs of the citizens.
Yeah, I know. I've only got two structures on my town, but I've already decided I'm just going to live close to a big city, so that the bank isn't far. That's the best way to go when you don't have as many structures to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, I place my I have a row house, a town lot, and a village lot, and I place them scattered throughout various points of mainland Novia, and then the Hidden Vale. And that's solely just because it's easy to teleport back and forth. You know, just so I don't have to like actually go to the ferryman in Arteris or Kingsport and take that silly ferry. I can just zone in and out at my leisure.
Yeah, your best fighting's actually in the Hidden Vale, because I'm always fighting elves. That's where I make all my money. So
yeah, that's what you were saying. I haven't had a chance to go and check that out. I'm definitely going to do that this weekend. That was a good tip. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, no problem. That's the only way I've found so far to make any money in this release, because they've taken away all of our things that we discovered, because I guess they're paying attention to what people say. So, oh, I love that crystal thing. It was awesome.
Yeah, you can thank yours truly for that. I was the one that discovered that.
Oh, that was you? Okay. Yeah, that's right. You and Mad Hermit talked about that, huh?
Yeah, so I was just randomly... Was going through Graph Gem mines, and you know, was in that room, mined all of them up, mined all those stupid gems, went back, and then saw at a vendor, oh my god, is selling for 1,000 gold pieces. And I was able to make, I think when you went through that whole room in one go, you could get like 12,000 gold pieces. But you know, I pinged Mad Hermit in the forums, and he was just like, oh wow, this is fantastic. But you know, you can make even more money if you go to Arteris and sell it to the alchemist there. He'll give you, you know, he'll give you full price, so you'll double your money. And so I was like, oh my god, I didn't know that. That's even better. And so then, you know, he came up with the video and put it together, and it was really slick and awesome. And of course, we both joked, you know, now that we have this out there, it's going to be wiped by the devs, you know, come the next update. And you know, of course it was, unfortunately, but it was good while it lasted.
It was. And I know I had company that week, so I didn't get to focus as much as I did, but I probably made 200,000 before they took it away from me. But some of my other friends were really pissed, because I'd gotten a whole bunch of the gems and didn't have time to sell them. And then when they went to go sell them, oh no, they're only worth 100. It was terrible. It was a disaster for some people.
You know, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about briefly last newscast, about the, you know, the negative side of the gathering was, you know, when you have that much money, you don't care about going and spending, you know, 10,000 gold pieces for 15 animal hides, because, you know, you have it. Now, you know, you got to go out and you got to kill like 1,000 wolves to get, you know, 1,000, you know, maybe 1,500 hides. And it's just drudgery, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think I spent 100,000 gold just decorating my house for the contest, that one release, and it was like, yeah, you could spend a lot of gold in this game just buying stuff, you know, that you kind of just need.
Oh, for sure. No doubt. And, you know, as I was joking previously, you know, where I've made the most money this release so far, and you know, I haven't done your elf slaughter quest thing yet,
yeah,
but I'm gonna do that because that's definitely a good way to get not only experience but gold. But I've been selling those scholar quest books for $500,000 a pop, and when I logged on the other day, every single book has been sold. I mean, people just are lazy, I guess, because these are the easiest books to get, and people will pay good money for it.
Yeah, the only one I think, the only one I thought would be really valuable is that rabbit one, because it's in that horrible cave where all that those horrible spiders are. I must have died four times trying to get that. And I couldn't get anything on that stupid auction. It was already full, so hoping to fix that.
Yeah, that one book is tough to get. That's probably the hardest one for sure. Yeah, I died a couple times the first time I was running through that. That's in Novia. That's in that new mine area. I can't remember the name of it. I'm blanking on the name. I apologize.
It's in the Solace Mines. Is that what it's called?
That's what it is. It's the Solace Mines. You're absolutely right. Right.
The one where you got to run through four ghosts and stuff.
Oh my god, the ever annoying ghosts. I mean, I thought they were going to fix those things ages ago. All I know is I've never been able to kill one. I dread fighting them and don't understand what the point is if I can't beat one.
I can't beat them either. They drain more life than I take off of them. So yeah, I can't never win either.
Well, not only do they drain, but they drain it and they regen all that health. It's just, it's impossible.
Yeah, I know. You get them down to about half a bar and then you pull back up and you're half down. It's like, that's not fair. So now you're hoping for a heal or something.
Materio, Matt Herman, and I got one down to quarter health and it still killed all of us. I mean, three of us. And I mean, at that time, I think I was level 25. I think Matt Herman and Materio were like around 40-ish. They were pretty high level and I was just kind of still starting out, but between the three of us, we still couldn't beat this darn thing.
Yeah. Well, Asclepius was telling me one of the tricks to fighting those things is do not fight them in a big group because it's draining life, like all life drains, from all of your party, so it's getting more life back if there's more of you there.
Oh, good to know. I did not know that.
That's a little trick. I can't kill them alone myself, but I think I noticed I was doing better when there was only two of us. So it wasn't get quite as much life back. I'm just kind of doing some little bit of distance fighting if you can, too.
Well, I appreciate the tip. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I don't know. I was hoping they would kind of nerf him down with the spells that they nerfed, but I haven't noticed it yet.
Here's to hoping, right?
That's right. Well, I guess they want the game to be challenging, so I would guess some creatures are just going to be hard to kill.
At least for now, anyway.
Until we get up to level 100.
Exactly. And magic is actually worthwhile in the game.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, you know, if other spells worked. That'd be great. I'd like to be able to kill things from afar before they get up to me.
Exactly. Especially for a mage, of course.
Well, that's how a mage fights normally. You're not supposed to be doing a lot of fist spells and stuff. You're supposed to be doing a couple of fireballs and they're dead. But, I haven't had that kind of luck yet.
Don't lose hope. You might in the very soon future.
Well, another thing that frustrates me is that people keep saying, oh, magic's overpowered. Well, death magic, but some of us don't use death magic. So come on, let's make the other magics good too.
Yeah, that would be frustrating. I feel your pain on that.
Now, I'm a specializing mage. I like to specialize. I don't like to diversify my mage. But thus far, you get punished for specializing because they want you to be in a bunch of different trees. So we'll see how it shapes up, though.
Absolutely.
It's good stuff, though. Let's go on to the in-game weekend events. There's quite a few of them. Our amazing community has another great lineup of in-game events planned for this weekend. Here is the latest schedule from Avatar's Circle Community Events Calendar and the events of Avatar's Community Calendar. So we have the reoccurring events. From NBNN, Phrase That Pays Weekend R18. That's Friday, May 29th, 1 p.m. to Monday, June 1st, 12 a.m. NBNN is giving away $100 in-store credit in the weekend of May 28th through 30th to coincide with Release 18. There are two ways to win, during the live broadcast or by registering for the general pool. So that's a pretty generous handout. And then we've got the Novian Academy, Dean's Working Hours. That's on Fridays at 4:30 p.m. And we've got the PvP event, 30-day tournament, which is still going on. That's an awesome idea. And then we have R17 through 18 Deco Contest, which is the pub crawl. And we have the Daily Breakfast Club on 12 a.m. CST time. And 6 a.m. CST time for Central U.S. and 3 p.m. CST time for Sydney, Australia. And the Breakfast Club offers a time when people from around different time zones can gather. And so that's a good idea too. And then we've got Shard Fall Madness PvP. Everyone fights it out in a Royal Rumble Fridays at 6 p.m. And we have a Phoenix Republic open mic night on Thursdays, 7 p.m. And come and hang out at Woody's Bar and have a story or a song. Maybe you want to do stand-up. So that sounds like fun too. Then we have a beach party by BMC. That's Fridays at 9 p.m. We have a challenge dungeon run. That's Fridays at 7 p.m. And BMC presents the Battle Arena every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 1 p.m. And then on Saturday, May 30th, we have 9 a.m. Paxler working hours. 11 a.m. is the Church of the Dark Star Saturday service. And also we have Welcome Quest 18 at 12 p.m. And at 2 p.m. we have a All Towns Gathering in Adoris. At 3 p.m. we have a Magic Sweeper Topic Greek Trivia. And at 5 p.m. we have a Vengeance Tournament by Royal Warrant. And at 7:30 p.m. we have a Tari Silipsmer Birthday Bash. I probably messed up that name. And also at 8 p.m. we have Avatars Radio Presents Return to the 80s Club with DJ Lum. That'll be pretty fun to listen to. Lum's a fun guy. And then going to Sunday, May 31st, we have at 6:30 a.m. Explore Novia with Royal Sexy. And at 10 a.m. we have Phoenix Republic Town Hall Working Hours. And at 2 p.m. we have a 4B Maze Event, First Anniversary, Pax Lair Central Lot by the Moon Tower. And we have 3 p.m. Central Time is Gust Ball. And at 5 p.m. we have BMC Gridiron Feast and Registration. And at 6 p.m. we have the BMC First Blood at Gridiron. At 7 p.m. we have a Pax Lair meeting. And at 8 p.m. we have Fishing with Winfield. Be sure and check out the Release 18 events in the Soda forums for additional events that may not be included there. So lots and lots of stuff going on in the game, and it's all community run. That's great.
Very cool and very fun. Looking forward to checking some of those out.
Yeah, lots to do. We won't get bored this weekend.
No, sir, we will not.
Good stuff. And so the next thing we have, 4 days until Bard's Tale 4 Kickstarter campaign. As we mentioned last week, our longtime friend and colleague Brian Fargo and his team over at In Exile recently announced they are reviving one of our favorite RPG series, Bard's Tale. So here's the announcement from the recent update. We are very excited about our upcoming Kickstarter for the Bard's Tale 4, which we recently announced will kick off on June 2nd. Follow our countdown on the official Bard's Tale 4 website or sign up to get notified when we will launch. We've also provided an early viewing of the Kickstarter tiers and we plan to make available. You can join the discussion in our official forums. So that's good news if you ever played Bard's Tale. That was a fun game too back in the early 90s.
Love those games, and I will absolutely be part of this Kickstarter campaign as well.
I know, we're going to go broke, aren't we? There's so much good stuff coming out.
Yeah, but it's really cool and really fun and exciting, and I think Kickstarter really has done something revolutionary in the ability to have folks who have ideas like this to create these games and bring them back to the fans and the fan base that thought they were gone forever, and now look at where we are. It's terrific.
Yeah, it almost feels like our game started all this, because all these old revamped new games are coming out, and I think we've kind of hit a nerve with people. They want these sandbox games back.
Business Insider had a really great article about 4 or 5 months, maybe 6 months ago, talking about how Shroud of the Avatar really, to your point, basically started off this whole Kickstarter revolution of games being able to, outside of publishing companies, developing and creating their own kind of games and not having to be part of, you know, the Origins or the EAs of the world or whatever, but being able to do it on their own, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I think it's a really good way to do games, because now you're not bound to some publisher that just wants to make money and they don't care about the game being fun. They just care about making a quick buck and then continuing on with another game.
Exactly right. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, and so the Blade of the Avatar pledge reward and add-ons expire on May 31st. That is 2 days away. FYI, if you're looking to get the Blade of the Avatar book on the Portalarium website, you'll have to get it by the 31st. Otherwise, you'll have to go to Amazon or bookstores and find it that way instead. So if you don't already have it, time is running low. Also, we have receiving pledge rewards and add-on items. If you're wondering where your stuff is when you first get your pledge, or if you're wondering where it is after a wipe, you just have to go to a bank in one of the major cities, and they currently still have them in all the little teeny towns with the criers and all those guys still have them. But once you do pick up your stuff from any of the banks, if you put something in the banks, that is, you have to stick to that same bank because things are localized. So that's another feature of our game that's actually quite cool, making it so you can't just get your stuff at any bank. You have to go to the bank you went to put it in. So that's another good thing there. And we also have changes to store credit conversions. If you wish to convert any of your purchased add-on items to store credit, you will need to do so before logging into Shroud of the Avatar. And if you've already logged in, then you have to wait till the next wipe, and then you can convert it over before you log in on the next release. So it's one of those things I was wondering and hoping if they would make it so that we could just convert it to credits anytime, but we're still waiting on that functionality. Hopefully it's coming. And also, Steam access keys are available for all Soda backers. Soda successfully launched on Steam Early Access November 24th, and we've made Steam keys available to all of our backers as part of the basic pledge rewards. Once you've redeemed your Steam access key, you'll have the option of playing Soda either with Steam client or regular game client or both. So everyone can have their Steam access keys. And we have word of mouth marketing, and what they're looking for here is to get as many likes as they can on Facebook. We have over 50,000 backers. Let's see if we can't get 50,000 likes on our game here, which would make it a lot more popular. And also, we want to see some positive Steam reviews, so doing a positive review, clicking recommending the game, that's all good for the game, and it spreads the word, and it makes everybody want to see what this game's all about. So that's good stuff. Now, how to cancel monthly layaway payment plans and what in-game rewards to expect. Remember that pledge payment plans are not canceled automatically after reaching the desired pledge. You must manually cancel your monthly payment plan. Otherwise, as we say, you will end up being a lord of the manor, and you will wonder, how did that happen? Well, the pledge didn't stop. So just once you get close, stop it and then pay the rest in one payment, or whatever way you want to do it. That's the way I did mine. And also, if you are on a monthly payment plan, the rewards you receive in-game may not reflect the final pledge tier you are making payments towards, but it will reflect the rewards for the current pledge tier that your cumulative monthly payments have reached. Your current pledge tier is shown on your account page of the SOTA website. So, that's all good stuff. And this week in the news, May 26, MMORPG, Shroud of the Avatar Column, Release 18, Return to Immersion. Another good article there. And May 29th, Catching Up with Shroud of the Avatar with Star Long. That's another good interview. And so you can read through those. Good stuff. And then upcoming events, on 6/16/2015, Soda at E3. On 6/25/2015, we have Release 19, and on 7/25/2015, we have Soda at the Classic Game Fest 2015. So that covers all of the news.
Very exciting stuff. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to check out, a lot of things to look forward to.
That is for sure, yes. Always something great going on with this game. That's one of the good things about, you know, being in this stage of the game development. It's just so much new stuff coming up, and that's all fun.
It is, and it's really refreshing and enjoyable, especially because we as the players have such an ability to affect the game and implement the things that we want and to see in our world.
That is true, yeah. It's quite fun to be part of this whole process. I know it's not fun for everybody, but I've had a lot of fun just seeing this game shape into a seriously fun game. and just to see the prospects for the future of this game. It just looks really awesome. I think this game is going to be groundbreaking. I think it's going to be epic, and I think it's going to bring back what we are all missing from our Ultima days.
I couldn't agree more. I echo those words, and on that note, Lord Baldrith, shall we hop off this newscast and go check out Vengeance?
Yeah, I would say let me just do some closing words here. I think we're heading into 2 hours on this one. This is a good newscast. So the awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to www.avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting this newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Cordelaine Valcaris
with Echoes from the Cavern.